joyful thought that my Lord I'll see just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. There with the mighty host I'll send, just over in the glory land. With the blood-washed throne I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over the glory land. The mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
Take your Bibles again and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to read those verses again that I read just a moment ago during our scripture reading, and then we'll bring the message from those verses this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice again verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And let's pray. The second coming of Jesus Christ is spoken about 318 times just in the New Testament. Jesus is coming again. We just read just a moment ago a portion of scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And over 317 other times in the Bible, in the New Testament alone, the Bible talks about Jesus coming back again. There are several scriptures, we won't take time to look at them, but there are several scriptures that talk about the second coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we saw that we will meet the Lord in the air. But in Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. One place it says that Jesus will meet us in the air. Another place it says that Jesus is coming back to this earth. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the Bible says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But in verse 43, it says he's coming as a thief. In one place, it says that all of us will see Jesus Christ come back again. But another place, it says that Jesus is coming back as a thief. One place, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 24, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Talking about the second coming. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, comfort one another with these words. In one place it says, when Jesus is coming back, all the nations of the earth are going to mourn. But another place it talks about when Jesus comes back, that there will be those that will be comforted, that there are those that will rejoice at his coming. It seems if you read, and if we took the time to read all 318 references to the second coming of Christ, it seems like there's some contradictions in the coming of Christ. We know that the Word of God is true and that there are no contradictions in the Word of God. But the truth of the matter is, the reason it says at one time he's coming in the air, another time it says he's coming to the earth, one time it says there are those that will mourn, another time it says that there we are to rejoice and comfort one another, one time it says that he is coming as a thief, and another time it says that all eyes will see him, is because there's two phases to the second coming. There are actually two different parts to the second coming of Jesus Christ. One of those is called what we call the rapture. And the second is the glorious appearing of Christ. One is where Jesus will come back and meet the saints in the air. And one is when he will come back to this earth to set up his millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign upon this earth. One is when every eye will see him when he comes back to set up his millennial reign. And one is when people will just disappear from this earth and meet him in the air. One is when he will come back and we will be comforted to realize that we will be with Jesus forever. And one is when he will come back with judgment upon the nations for disobedience to him. One is the rapture. And one is the revelation of Christ, or the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. What we want to talk about this morning in our series of messages on God's plan for the future is I want to look at the rapture, the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And these two phases of Christ's coming are separated by a 7-year period called the tribulation. We'll look at all of those things over the next few weeks. We'll look at the tribulation. We'll look at the millennial reign of Christ. We'll look at what the saints are doing in heaven during the tribulation, what's taking place on the earth during the tribulation. We'll see the events that are taking place in the Middle East. We'll see what those have to do with the Word of God. We'll see what God's plan for the future is according to this book. But this morning I want to look at the very next thing in God's calendar as far as you and I are concerned. And that's a thing called the rapture of the church. Look, if you would, over in Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, in verse 1, the Bible says this. In the first three chapters of Revelation is talking about the church age. There are several different churches that God is speaking about there. When he's done talking about the churches, the very next thing he talks about, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is this. And this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. In these verses right here, John, who was down upon the earth, who Jesus is revealing these truths to him, sees the door in heaven opened up. And he hears a voice come out of there like a trumpet that says, "Come up hither," and immediately John was in heaven with the Lord. There he saw in heaven the great throne. You read through the book of Revelation, the verses that follow, and up through chapter 18, you'll see the great tribulation period upon this earth, part of it what's on this earth, part of what's taking place in heaven. So beginning with chapter 4, we see the beginning of prophecy. And the very first thing that happens is John caught up in the heaven with the Lord. The next chapters, from 4 through 18, takes place during the tribulation period, or that next 7-year period of time that takes place after the rapture. Then in Revelation chapter 19, notice in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened." He had seen before a door in heaven open and a voice coming out of him, and he went up to be with the Lord. Now in chapter 19, verse 11, after the tribulation period is over, it says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written there that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We saw in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where Jesus from heaven said these words, "Come up hither," and John went up to meet the Lord. During the next several chapters, up through chapter 19, verse 11, we see the tribulation or 7-year period taking place upon this earth. And then in chapter 19, verse 11, we see the heavens open a second time 7 years later. And at this time, we see coming out of heaven one riding upon a white horse, and the armies of heaven coming back with him. And this time he comes to the earth to bring the wrath of God upon the nations who had turned from God. We see in chapter 4 the rapture. We see a 7-year period of time. And then we see Jesus Christ coming back to the earth to rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. What we're going to look at this morning is that first time in John chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where the heavens opened and the voice came from heaven that said, "Come up hither." That's called the rapture of the church. There's three questions that I'm going to answer this morning. They are this. First of all, what is the rapture? Secondly, what will happen at the rapture? And thirdly, when will this rapture take place? What's the rapture? What's going to happen at the rapture? And when is this going to take place? Let's look at the first question. That is this. What is the rapture? If you read through the Bible, you'll not see that word rapture, because the word rapture is coming from a Latin word. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. The word rapture comes from a Latin word, which means to seize, to take. It goes along with, turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Greek equivalent of that word is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 17. The Bible says, "And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." The words "caught up" are the equivalent of the Latin word which means to rapture or to seize. The word "caught up," if you look that up in the Greek, it also means to seize. When Jesus will come back in the air, and he will seize those or catch up those who are upon this earth who are saved. So the rapture simply means when those that are saved upon this earth will be caught up, or when Jesus comes back in the first phase of his second coming, and in the air calls out, "Come up hither," and catches all those around the earth who are saved to be caught up with him, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. So the rapture is simply a seizing of those who are on this earth to be caught up with Jesus. If we read through the Old Testament, we'll see some examples of that. For instance, as a matter of fact, look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In several scriptures we're going to look at this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 5, the Bible says this: "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 5, we're not going to turn back to that, but in Genesis chapter 5, it tells the story of a man by the name of Enoch. The Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch in the Old Testament is a picture of the rapture of the church. If you read all the men in the Bible up to the time of Enoch, the Bible says, "And Adam died, and Seth died, and Enos died, and Canaan died, and Mahalalel died, and Jared, Enoch's father, died." When you come to the story of Enoch, it says, doesn't say the words, "he died." It says he walked with God and God took him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that he was translated that he should not see death. Here's what the picture of the rapture is. There will be those possibly in this room today that will never die. There will be those possibly like Enoch who one day when Jesus comes back in the air that will be caught up with him without ever seeing death. There's another illustration of that. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven in a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Verse 11 says, "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven." There's another man in the Bible who never saw death. That was a man by the name of Elijah. Elisha, who was his preacher boy, was following along with him. And he had gone because he knew that God was going to take him up in a whirlwind. And as he went along, he came to the Jordan, and there the heavens opened, and a whirlwind and a chariot of fire came down. Elijah was caught up in that chariot of fire and carried off into heaven, and Elijah never saw carried off into heaven as a picture, as a type of the rapture. What is the rapture? The rapture is simply this. It's a seizing. It's when those who are on this earth, many on this earth, will be caught up by Jesus in his second coming. That's the rapture. What's actually going to take place during this rapture? Look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again, and there's several things that are explained in those verses that'll take place during this rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Look in verse 16. The first thing is this: for the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. The Bible says, first of all, here's what's going to happen. At that time when the rapture takes place, the heavens are going to open and there's going to be a voice, or the Lord himself is going to come down from heaven. Jesus is going to leave heaven and come down. Not all the way to this earth, the Bible says, but in the air. And while Jesus is coming back to this earth in the air, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the twinkling of an eye, immediately what's going to happen when Jesus comes back is this rapture is going to take place. So quickly, so fast that man will not even know that it's taking place, and there'll be many excuses and many stories for what took place when this rapture took place. In the twinkling of an eye, Jesus himself is going to come back in the air for those that are saved. And the Bible says that with the shout, Jesus is coming back with the voice of the archangel. So here's actually what's going to happen. In a twinkling of an eye, the heavens are going to open. Jesus is going to come back from heaven in the air. And there's going to be a shout. The Lord's going to shout. What's he going to shout? Look, if you would, back in John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is a story of a man whom Jesus loved who died on this earth. His name was Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick? Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goeth thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Here's what had taken place. Lazarus had gotten sick. His sister Mary and Martha had sent to Jesus and said, Jesus, won't you come back to Bethany, because our brother Lazarus is dying. And Jesus abode there for another couple days. Finally, he said to the disciples, we're going to head to Bethany because Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, then he doeth well. There's no sense in us going back to Bethany, because last time we were there, they tried to stone you to death. Can we go back there? Jesus said, I walk in the light. I'm not going to stumble. And Jesus said, we're going back there. And finally, Jesus said plainly to them, Lazarus is not sleeping as we would think of sleep, but Lazarus' body is asleep. Lazarus is dead. When the Bible talks about those who are asleep in Christ, it talks about our bodies. Our soul does not sleep, because our soul, the Bible teaches, goes immediately with the Lord when we die. But our body stays here upon this earth until the rapture, the resurrection. The Bible says that Jesus, look in the next verses here, verse 38. There, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. This is an illustration of right here of what's going to take place at the rapture. Lazarus was there in the grave. Lazarus had already died. He'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus came and said, roll away the stone. They said, but Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, I told you if you'd believe, you'd see great things. And they rolled away the stone. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Come up hither. And immediately, Lazarus rose from the dead and came forth. Jesus one day is going to say the words, come up hither, or come forth. But he's not going to call a name. Had Jesus, with the power of Jesus, not called the name of Lazarus, probably every dead man within earshot would have walked out of the grave. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. What's going to happen is this. Jesus himself is going to come back in the air with a shout. He's going to say, come up hither. And all those that are his, dead and alive, will be caught up together with him in the clouds. The first thing that's going to happen is this. Jesus is coming back in the air with a shout. Look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at the second thing that's going to take place at this rapture. First Thessalonians chapter 4, again in verse 16. The Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Here's what else is going to take place on that day, in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye. Not only will Jesus leave heaven and come back into this earth, in the air, towards this earth, not only will he shout, come up hither, but the trump of God is going to sound. That trump of God is also talked about in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It's also talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it's talking about the rapture. The last trump shall sound, the Bible says, and the trumpet shall sound. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Here's what's going to take place. A trumpet's going to blast. Look back in Numbers chapter 10. What does this trumpet sound mean? Numbers chapter 10. In Numbers chapter 10, the Old Testament, God gave instructions for trumpets, two silver trumpets that were to be made. Look what these trumpets were for. Verse 1, Numbers chapter 10. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall thou make them, that thou mayest see them, use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Verse 3, when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. If they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are at heads of the house, thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. There are two reasons for these two trumpets made of silver in the Old Testament. They were to gather together for an assembling of the children of Israel, and they were to march either for journeying or for war. When a certain trumpet sounded, then all the children of Israel were to gather together in assembly. When it sounded an alarm, they were either to begin marching or they were to go to war. When the trumpet sounds, we are going to all be gathered together with the Lord, those that are saved. All that are saved will be gathered together at the trumpet sound. So there's two things that are going to take place. You that are here, when Jesus comes back, you're either going to be one of two things. You're going to be alive when Jesus comes back, or you're going to be dead when Jesus comes back. When Jesus shouts, those that are dead are going to raise up to be with him in the air. And when the trumpet sounds, those that are alive are going to be gathered together unto him also. Jesus is going to come back with a shout and with a sound of the trumpet.
Look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's a third thing that's going to take place at the rapture. Jesus will come back with a shout. The trumpet of God will sound. And then it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here's what's going to happen at that rapture. All those who are saved, who have died, whose souls are already with Christ in heaven, their graves are going to open up, and those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. Here's what's going to take place at that rapture, the first resurrection. Look, if you would, over to John chapter 5. There are two resurrections that are going to take place in the future. There are two times when those that are dead are going to be brought out of the dead. And John chapter 5 explains those two resurrections. Look in verse 28, John chapter 5. The Bible says, "Not marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." There are two resurrections that are talked about there. Jesus said there's coming a day when the graves are going to open up and all those that are dead are going to be resurrected from the grave. There's going to be a resurrection of life. And there's going to be a resurrection of damnation. Those who are saved are going to go up in the first resurrection. That's the resurrection of life. And those who have died without Jesus Christ, who are never saved, will be resurrected one day, but they'll be resurrected at the resurrection of damnation. One is the resurrection of life, eternal life. And one is the resurrection of death, whose bodies will be brought forth to stand before God before they're cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. The rapture, the first resurrection, will take place. Or the first phase of the first resurrection will take place. Those that are dead will be caught up, and they'll receive at that time, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a new body. We right now live in a corruptible body, a body that once we die, that body will degenerate and deteriorate and go back to the dust of the earth. But one day during the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of those unto life, they will receive a brand new body. Those who had sickness in this life will receive a body with no sickness at the rapture. Those who were blind in this life receive a body that is not blind at the rapture. Those who are deaf in this life will receive a body that is not deaf in the rapture. Those who are lame in this life will receive a body which is not lame at the rapture. That which is corruptible will put on incorruption. We'll receive a new body. So here's what's going to take place at the rapture. First of all, Jesus is coming back in the air with a shout. Secondly, the trump of God will sound. Thirdly, the dead in Christ will be raised first to go up to meet the Lord in the air. But there's a third thing. Look in back in 1 Thessalonians again. In chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Here's what will take place. At the rapture, Jesus is going to leave heaven and come back in the air. He's going to come with a shout and with a voice or with the sound of the trumpet. And all those who are dead are going to be caught up out of their graves at the first resurrection. And they'll receive a new body, an incorruptible body, as they go up in the air to meet there with Jesus. And Jesus will take them back to heaven where they will live for the next 7 years. Not only that, not only those that are dead are going to be resurrected, but those that are alive and are saved will be caught up also immediately. And all this is going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. There, well, you can imagine, there may be a church service going on. And in that church service, those who have gathered there, when the rapture takes place, immediately those sitting in the church who are saved will disappear. Can you imagine the ruckus is going to take place during the rapture? If those are out, the Bible describes it, those may be out in work, and the rapture takes place, and immediately those who are saved on the job will disappear. They'll be gone. They'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Those that are lost, we left here upon this earth to go through the next 7 years of tribulation as God pours out his wrath upon this earth for those who have denied Christ. But those who are saved will be caught up. Can you imagine what would take place on that day? Those that are saved as they're driving along the freeway, and immediately their bodies disappear. The car goes on its course. Can you imagine all the wrecks that are going to take place on that day? An airplane pilot who's flying overhead, who's saved, disappears. Can you imagine what's going to take place on that day when all those who are saved are going to be raptured? I heard one place, I don't remember where I heard it, one of the airlines required, there are two pilots that flew every flight, that one pilot had to be not born again because they believed in the rapture of the church. And they said when the saved pilot goes, we'll at least have somebody there that's not saved that can fly this plane and keep all those that aren't saved alive to go through the tribulation. The rapture will take place and those that are saved will disappear immediately off the earth, will be caught up together with him in the clouds, in the air. The illustration in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, where we talked about Enoch. Remember what the Bible says? By faith, Enoch was translated. And then the Bible says these words, and was not found. You know what that means? All the people that knew Enoch spent some time looking for him and saying, where in the world did he go? What happened to Enoch? He just, one day was here and the next day he's gone. What happened to him? Remember what happened when Elijah came down and was taken up by that chariot of fire up into heaven? And the sons of the prophet gathered around Elisha and said, where's your preacher? Where'd he go? They said, God's taken him up into heaven in a chariot of fire. And they said, well, we're 50 sons of the prophets and we'll go around looking for his body just in case God dropped his body someplace. We'll find it. And for the next 3 days, they searched and searched and searched and never found the body of Elijah, who was caught up in with the Lord in the air. Can you imagine all the missing persons reports are going to take place on that day? And they'll search for those who are saved, but they'll be gone. They'll be with Jesus in the air. Can you imagine all the stories that are going to be brought out as people try to explain what happened when the saved were taken out? A college professor in his class, on his philosophy of religion, says an amazing thing happened. The students that sat in my class that always wanted to talk the Bible in my class, those troublemakers are gone. They've disappeared. Don't know what happened to them. Can you imagine all across the world as those who are saved are caught up with the Lord? What confusion will take place on this earth? Here's, first of all, what is the rapture? It's the season of the saved up to be with Jesus. What's going to take place at the rapture? Jesus is going to come back in the air with a shout, with the sound of a trumpet. The dead in Christ will be resurrected. And those that are alive when Jesus comes back will be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. When is this rapture going to take place? When will it happen? What will happen? When is this going to happen when all those that are saved are going to be caught up, and those are going to be disappeared? When's this going to take place? Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus was still upon this earth talking to his disciples. And as he talked to them, while he was on this earth, he was talking to them about his coming back again. He was talking about the rapture of the church. This is while Jesus is still here on the earth, and he's talking about the rapture. Look what it says. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm here with you right now. But I'm going to be leaving this earth, and I'm going to go up into heaven, and I'm going to make a mansion or make some mansions up there for you. And he said, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now notice what takes place between Jesus leaving and Jesus coming back. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus said, when I leave, I will come again. What's the next thing on God's calendar that must take place? Does a temple need to be built in Jerusalem? That's not found there. All that's found there is Jesus is leaving and Jesus is coming back again. What needs to take place before the rapture of the church? Must there be wars take place? No. What needs to take place before Jesus raptures his church? Must there be famines and earthquakes? No. Although there will be, and there will be plenty, when Jesus comes back, nothing has to take place between the time that Jesus left this earth until Jesus comes back. Jesus could have come back the very next day that he left and fulfilled Scripture, because nothing needs to take place. Preacher, how much time do we have left before the rapture of the church? I don't know. All I know is this: nothing has to take place for Jesus to come back. There are many things that must take place before Jesus comes back to this earth, but there is nothing that must take place before Jesus comes back in the air at the rapture. And if I go, I will come again. That means the rapture could take place today. That means before this day is over, there could be a shout from heaven, a trumpet sound, the graves could open up, and those that are alive, that are saved, be caught up together with the Lord in the air. So shall they ever be with the Lord. What's the rapture? It's the season of the saved. What's going to take place? Jesus is going to come back with a shout, with a trump of God. The dead in Christ will be resurrected, and those that are alive will be caught up with him in the air. When will this take place? Any minute. At any time. It may take place 1,000 years from now. It might take place today. Why does Jesus say, you don't know the hour, you don't know the day, I'll come back as a thief in the night? Because he wants you ready today. Paul said, now my departure is at hand. Now I am ready. Are you ready if the rapture took place today? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Are you ready to go to heaven? We won't take the time to look at it this morning, but after the rapture takes place, there will be 7 years of tribulation upon this earth like the earth has never seen. As God pours out his wrath upon this earth, we see the plagues brought upon this earth where thousands and thousands will die. Are you ready to go to be with the Lord? Are you ready for the rapture to take place today? How do you get ready? John 14, verse 4 says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's how you get ready. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you have Jesus today? If you had a time in your life where you've received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, do you know that if the rapture took place today and the words come up here that were called, do you know for sure that you'd be called up to be with the Lord? God knows who those who are His. Jesus knows those who've received Him. Have you received Him? The Bible teaches also at that time there will be those tares amongst the wheat. As the wheat is harvested, there will be tares that will be left behind. They look just the same. They thought they were wheat, but they were tares. God won't make a mistake. He knows those that are His. Are you ready today to meet Jesus? Won't you today make the day that you'll receive Him? Say, preacher, how do you do that? Simply realize that you're a sinner in need of Jesus. Realize that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And if you'll simply receive Him as your personal Savior, by asking Him to come into your life and trusting Him completely to take you to heaven, God will save you. Jesus is the way. Won't you receive Him today? And let's pray.